did. What was Grandpa like whenever you were my age?
I don't know. He's like a dad.
Did Grandpa make you listen to this terrible music?
You mean, did he culture me? You bet he did.
Did Grandpa get lost too?
Sometimes. We're not lost.
Recalculating route to your destination. You will arrive in approximately 2 days, 3 hours of...
What's your license insurance?
Did Grandpa have a lead foot too?
Amen.
Grandpa teach you to pray before every meal like that?
Yeah. For every meal.
Did Grandpa do that too?
Yeah.
You really are a lot like him, aren't you? I hope I'm like you whenever I grow up.
What's with all the lollygagging? I'm not paying you guys to sit around and look at pictures. Chop chop! My stuff's not gonna get to a condo on the golf course by itself.
Has Grandpa always been so bossy?
Always.
Is he actually banging us?
Not a chance.
You really are a lot like him, aren't you?
Today, I've got some great men coming up to join me on stage. They're going to be helping me out during this message. But let me first of all say, Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. Yes, give them a big hand. I'm reminded of the story of the son who went in to bring his dad breakfast in bed on Father's Day, you know, and he went in to bring him breakfast in bed, and his dad's like, woke up, was like, what is this, son? He goes, I'm bringing you breakfast in bed, Dad, you know, and so he's all excited, and he goes, bring it up here. And so he gets a bowl of soggy Lucky Charms that had been setting a while, and he lets them slide down his throat as he tries to go ahead and eat it. And yeah, this is great. And he knows there's a cup. He goes, son, I know she made me a cup of chocolate milk. And he goes, no, Dad, that's coffee. He's like, oh, okay, coffee. This is really going to be interesting. But like any great dad would do for a son who did this, he decided, I'm going to drink this coffee for my son, let him know I appreciate what he did on Father's Day, bringing it to me in bed. So he begins to drink the cup of coffee, and so it's just the worst thing he'd ever tasted in his life. As his son was trying to make him coffee, and he's like acting like he's drinking it, but he's not really drinking it, you know. And his son's like, Dad, are you drinking it all? He's like, oh, yeah, it's good. He goes, because I got a surprise for you. I put a surprise in the cup for you. So his dad's like, I have no idea what is in this cup. I have no idea what kind of surprise is waiting in this cup of coffee. So now not only can I have to drink this cup of coffee, I got to see what kind of surprise is in the bottom of this cup. So as he forces himself to drink down the worst tasting cup of coffee he'd ever had in his life, he puts it down. He finally notices two of his son's little soldiers, army men, he had put inside the cup of coffee. He says, son, why did you put these little army men, soldiers, in my cup? He said, well, Dad, the commercial said the best part of waking up is soldiers in your cup. Okay. It's going to be one of those kind of days today. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's going to be a good day. Well, today I've asked these guys to help me out. We're talking about being an all-in father. Being an all-in father. So I asked some dads that I know who are all in. Some of the pastoral staff is up here joining me today. And, of course, I've asked Glenn Langley to help us out today. And Glenn's got a lot of wisdom, good friend, good supporter of our church and me personally. I tell the story in the first service of how Glenn several months ago told me, he said, Pastor, he goes, 20 years ago, I'd have been right there in the front. TJ would have had nothing on me. I'd have been up there jumping with everybody. He goes, but I love it, man. I love what you guys are doing, reaching the next generation. He's always such a great supporter with his words. And Glenn, when I say the words all in, what do you think of when I talk about being an all-in father, Glenn? What's that mean to you?
Well, when I think about being all in, I think about my son and his sophomore year in high school. And he came to me one day after he got out of school and he said, Dad, I don't know exactly why, but I feel like I need to go to a Christian high school. And at the time, we lived in a town where there wasn't any Christian schools. But when your 16-year-old son tells you that, you're going to go hell or high water, you're going to make it happen. And so we sold our house and moved to a town that had a high school, Christian high school, and enrolled both of our kids there. And, you know, it was a time where we went all in. But it was well worth it. I praise the Lord every day for what he has accomplished through my kids.
Somebody else, tell me what your thoughts on being an all-in father. What do you think of when I say being all-in, Justin? What do you think about that?
For me, it means three things. Number one, it means teaching all of my kids about God, modeling a relationship with God form. Number two, because I have two girls, being all-in means that I'm showing them how to be loved, the right way to be loved, so that they're not looking anywhere else for the God kind of love except through God and through, you know, their mom and I. Number three, because I have two boys, it's teaching them how to love, how to respect, and how to honor others. So that's what it means to me.
Awesome. I think one of the things we have as men, one of the biggest challenges I think that we have as guys, is the role the fathers have. Now, what we see now happening is that several years ago, you know, 25% of the women worked outside of the home. Now that is kind of reversed. Now you have about 75% of the women in today's society are having to work as well to help keep up with ends meet. And that's the way society is changing. And so roles are changing. So now dads are not only having to be the pillars of the home when it comes to the stable one, but also sometimes we're having to be nurturers. It's like the mothers have that natural gift of nurturing. Sometimes the fathers are the ones who are home when the mom's working as well and having to be nurturers as well. But we can't forget that as dads, I believe one of the greatest roles as a father that we have is to build confidence in our children. It's our role as fathers to build confidence in our children. Tell me a little bit, what's some ways, Carlos, that we can do to build confidence in our children?
I think first off, you got to give your kids the opportunity to have responsibility, so they can grow and let them try things. My wife reminded me that one of the things we have in our house is we have a rule that our kids will only do it once. Whether that's jump off a building, break a bone, let them step out and try it. And so that's first and foremost. The other thing that we do, especially as Pastor Justin mentioned, I have girls in my home as well. I pray over my girls so that they'll have a positive self-image of themselves, and they'll be confident in who they are in God so that they can not be dependent on people, whether it's friends or whoever, to help guide their self-esteem. And so to me, that's one of the things that we do.
That's such a key thing, Carlos. I'm glad you said it, is that, you know, as fathers, we have to be the ones who build up the confidence, especially not only in our guys, which that's kind of a natural thing to do with guys, I think, but sometimes we have to work at it with our girls. We got to make sure we're being confident with that, guys, as fathers, that we are building up the right kind of confidence in our girls. What's some ways that you think you can, some guys that maybe here who have daughters who say, well, how do I do that? What's some practical ways that you can just do to help build up confidence in your girls?
One, spend time with them. You know, as an all-in dad, you know, it's every day of the week. You know, let them know who they are. Tell them you love them. Show them how you love and treat their mom so they'll know, expect that when someone tries and wants to love them, they'll know what to look for. They'll see the right attributes. And just keep encouraging them every day.
How do we build confidence in guys, in young boys, in teenage young men? Jeremiah, you got two boys in the home, one young man and one a little bit younger. But anyway, go ahead.
I say you let them fail. And in their failure, you don't criticize them and say, hey, you did a real good job there, son. Way to go. But you bring them along and you say, okay, this is what I've always done with my sons. And if they fail, and we sit down and we talk about it. We say, okay, where do you think you went wrong right there? So, and we go through the transition and really help them understand that every choice that they make, there's a consequence, good or bad.
Right. And I think you said something that was very, very much key to all of us here, whether you're a dad or a mom, that we need to make sure that we communicate to all of our children is that it's okay to fail. It's okay to fail. It's all right to fail. And when they do, this is something that we've got to listen. That took me a long time to learn as a parent. And I want to pass it on to every young parent in this room, every dad, young dad, and even those who aren't, will be someday. Listen to me while I'm telling you this. For a long time, as dads, most dads in here are probably pretty competitive. That's pretty much your nature as a man. You're competitive. And so when children fail according to our expectations or what society's expectations may be of them, we can take it personal. For instance, if they get up and they strike out all the time and never hit the ball, and you were a good athlete, you can take it personal. Like, everybody thinks I'm the one who failed my kid. I knew I should have took him out in the yard and played, warmed him up before they got here. I should have been pitching balls all week long. I should have had them in the batting cages. I should have spent the time on getting a hitting coach for them, and all these things that happen, and we blame ourselves and we take it personal because our kid didn't hit the ball. You know, and I want to tell you something, that every child is different. Every child is gifted in their own giftings. And they're not always going to excel in every single thing. And that's okay. At times they're going to fail. And what we got to realize is it's not a direct reflection of you when your children don't do good in a certain thing. If they enter a talent contest and they don't place, it's not a reflection on you. If they don't make the honor roll, it's not a reflection on you. If they get out and strike out every time, it's not a reflection on you. What is a reflection on you as a parent is this. I can tell you this as someone who's been working within the education field and has worked as coaches and several kids and several teams is this. Reflection is this. Is your child coachable? Is your child trainable? Are they a good teammate? Do they know how to encourage other people? Can they share? Can they honor and follow the rules? Can they hustle? Can they work when they're getting tired? Can they show up to practice when it's hot and they don't feel like being there? Can they go to school and show honor to their teachers? That's a direct reflection on your parenting, not how they hit the ball. Are you getting that? See, we take it personal as people who are really competitive. I'm a horrible expat on me. No, it's not. It's what kind of child are you producing? Do they know how to honor? Do they know how to follow the rules? It's important that we build those confidence up. I think I've seen a statistic the other day. I've read it before. I think that says that it takes for every one negative comment, it takes 15 positive comments to overcome that. So you think of how many negative comments our children are getting at school throughout the day. We got a work cut out for us to be positive and build confidence up in our children. Don't disregard the words that you speak over your children and to your children. You know, as fathers, we have the role of discipline as well. That's a big role in our life. And, you know, it is amazing. The moms are very good at nurturing, but, you know, it's like something about wait till your father gets home. All of a sudden, that gets the kids' attention. Maybe tell me some things about being a discipline as a father, you know, and the importance of that and the roles of that in your family, how that plays a role in your family of being a discipline.
I guess I would say dads have a way of discipline. In our house, it's, you know, we have fun with our girls and, you know, they understand we play around, but they know at a time when dad says it a certain way, they have to line up and straighten up. You know, I'm not one of multiple warnings. Warning, 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 warning. And so I say, all right, time to clean your room. It's time to clean your room. In our house, we believe in discipline. We give spankings. So for those of you that don't, I'm sorry, but in our house we do. But I will say we don't have to spank that much because if you say it right, they'll get it right.
But what a saying to write, because I think that, you know, one of the things that my wife and I, when we were disciplined early on, she was like, the kids just respond differently to you than they do to me. And I said, well, it's as simple as this, honey. I follow through. If I say I'm going to take your phone away, I take your phone away. If I say I'm going to take your keys, I will drive you to school tomorrow. I will pull you up to the front door. I will roll down the window, yell at you as you walk into class, have a great day, go ahead and read some books, you know. I'll do it. And they know I'll do it. And so they respond differently than when my mom sometimes says, well, you know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, but never follow through. There's something about being consistent and disciplined and following through. It's not so much I don't think about, you know, even the expression of they know I'm serious, is that they know, will you follow through what you say as a discipline. And this is such an important part, discipline, because if we don't bring discipline into our child's life, they are headed for trouble. Listen to me. You're not a bad parent because you discipline your children. And some of you were over-disciplined, so you're afraid to discipline your child now. And that's some of the issues, because you were over-disciplined when you were growing up. Sometimes you're afraid of disciplining your own kids. But let me tell you, you are doing such a disservice to them emotionally, physically, socially, and even spiritually, that they need to know that the rest of their lives, they're going to have to follow the rules or there's consequences. Go ahead, Glenn. I got something down there to say.
This probably is dating myself, but I remember the commercial, when E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. And that's kind of the way it was in our family. When Dad speaks, everybody listens.
That's right. That's right. Go ahead.
And I want to speak to, I was divorced when I was in my late 20s, and I had a kid with me all of a sudden, and my ex-spouse became very, very sick and had to go live with her parents and couldn't be involved. But I had a 5-year-old, a 4-year-old. I don't know how old he was. He's right back here. He's in this service today. So, I found whenever, because I had to move out and had my own place. And so I found that whenever he would come over and stay with me, that I was trying to be his buddy. And I was trying to make everything right when we were together. And I would kind of let the discipline slide at the beginning. And you can't do that. You cannot do that. I was a single parent. So instead of being his buddy, which I was at the beginning, and then I was like, wait a minute. Because he would push my buttons.
No.
He did it on purpose. He would push my button. He knew exactly what to do. He was testing the waters to see exactly, is Dad still going to be my buddy? Is he going to be my buddy, or is he still going to discipline like we did at Mom's house? You don't understand what I'm saying? So I had to differentiate between, I had to draw that line and say, we're still going to do things the way we did at Mom's house, okay? We still have rules, because if we don't, then it drives me crazy. And you don't want to, I can go crazy. You don't want me to go crazy. We have to stay calm, and we have to keep the rules exactly the way they were, both ways.
Right. And I think, you know, moms, you know, if both parents live in the home, you have a balance there, and that's good. You know, moms tend to nurture and want you to be easy on the children, and dads tend to be a little rough sometimes on discipline. And if you allow each other to help each other, you'll bring the best out of both. And so one of the things my wife is, you know, I'm teaching her to be a little bit more stronger, you know, in her discipline, and she's teaching me to be a little more softer. You need to ease up sometimes, you know. Sometimes you're just a little too hard. And so we have to listen to her and know, and it takes us both doing that. And so one of the things that I think it's really key as well, is that, you know, as a parent, we follow through. There's times when my kids maybe do something that's really, really bad, and they're expecting me just to lose it completely. And it's been sometimes in those times that I sit down the calmest and had some one-on-one talk with them and just let them know this was very disappointing, you know, that happened. But, you know, this is on you, and you're going to take responsibility for it. And I get to see on their face, they're like, I would feel much better if you would just go off on me, you know. But instead, I show them, you know, just a little mercy. And there have been times when they did something bad and I punished them and disciplined them, but I saw them respond in a healthy way. And so therefore, I came back later and said, because of the way you responded when I was disciplining you, I'm going to give you some grace and I'm going to lighten up this punishment. I'm going to shorten it. I'm going to give your phone back before I said I was. I'm going to let you start driving again or whatever, because grace is needed as well as discipline. And you got to know how to balance it. But you got to have both, guys, okay? Listen to me. Parents, if you love your children, you will discipline them. Let me say it again. If you love your children, you will set boundaries for them. Don't be their best friend. You can't be their best friend. I love it if you're close to them and have a great relationship with them. That's a bonus if you can have that. But first and foremost, you're not called to be their best friend. You're called to be the one who trains them up and prepares them, as Carlos said earlier. Our goal as parents is to train our children to what?
Leave the house.
To leave the house. Any parents say amen? Amen. Some of you are like, I got a 35-year-old. Can you please talk to him, Dad? That's our goal. And sometimes as moms, our goal is to hang on to them as long as possible. And Dad's like, no, get out. We're ready to honeymoon it again. Yeah. You know, and so it's the balance. You know, it's all about balance. And really, that's what we are. We're training our children. God has placed them in our care to train them up, first of all, to be examples of God's love, to show them how to be all in as fathers and mothers in love with Jesus, and show that. Then we're also to train them up to leave the house and be productive and to be responsible and to be people who give back into society and who serve the church and who love the Lord and serve the Lord. This is our job. And it doesn't happen without discipline. You've got to bring the discipline. Because why? Because we're preparing, I think fathers do this, we're preparing our kids for the what? Real world. We have got to prepare our children for the real world. How do we do that? How do we prepare our kids for the real world? Anybody got any good suggestions on that?
One thing that we do in our home is when we give our kids a task, we allow them some latitude to creatively figure out how they want to approach finishing that task. Because, work in the workplace, just in the world, period, they're looking for creative problem solving. And so sometimes we may say, we want you to follow steps 1, 2, and 3, but sometimes we'll say, do this, and then we'll see how they form in their brains to get it done. And if they fail, then, like Pastor Jeremiah said, we have a talk about what went wrong, how we can improve it next time. Now, we want you to do it the way that we told you to do it in the first place, but we allow them the latitude to try to figure it out and fail if they have to, or if they succeed, then we celebrate that with them as well.
Yeah, it's important that they have some chores and responsibilities to do.
Wait, say it again. It's important what?
For them to have some chores.
Let's get this on tape right here, okay? How many parents are like, this is a good thing? You mean, but what happens if our kids don't want to do chores?
Hey, you need to assign them to you, and then they get the reward if they don't do it.
Right. This is so key. Listen to me. I have parents all the time who will come to me and say, I'm having a problem controlling my child. And this is children who are under the age of 16, okay? These are kids who still live in the home, and they're wearing $100-plus shoes. They're carrying around $300 earphones. They've got $500 phones, and all of a sudden, we can't control them. No, I gave it to you. I will take it back. I don't care if you bought it with your own money. I will sell it and give the money back to you. All the kids here love me today, I know. But what I'm saying is this, we do have control, okay? And there is consequences. That's the thing. We give you responsibility. There is reward. And I have some children that come to me and say, Dad, will you buy me this $50 game in the store when we're just passing by? And I'm like, sure, let's go home and I'll give you a chance to earn the money. And when you earn the money, we'll come back and buy it. And I have some kids, they'll be like, all right, what can I do? They'll get the rake out and they'll work all day and they'll do everything they can to earn that money. I have other kids who are like, I think I'll work till my birthday. It's all right, I can wait. It's all right. anyway, but it's okay. I'm teaching them, if you want it, you work for it. It's not your birthday. It's not Christmas. And sometimes I do reward my kids out of the blue just because they've had a good attitude or this isn't great. There's nothing wrong with rewarding your children. But at the same time, I got to teach them the value of earning and responsibility. One of the ways that I think I shared this in the first service was that teaching our kids about the real world. And when I was growing up, I had to buy my own car. I didn't get a dime. I had to buy my own car. That was a tough thing. You know, but it taught me responsibility and the value at a young age about working and taking care of my things. Now, my wife, on the other hand, she was privileged and she had a car given to her. Nice cars given to her without having to pay for them. So when we got married, we had this big clash of ideas about how we were going to take care of our kids when it came time for this to get a car. You know, and I'm like, honey, do the math. We can't afford to buy our kids cars. We got five kids. And after us talking, but what we did was we came to a happy medium in our marriage and talking about our parenting styles, when we realized a little bit of both is okay. And so what we did was we said, up to this certain amount, if you will raise up to this certain amount, I will match you dollar for dollar. And so they've got skin in the game. They're raising the money. And if they have to raise the whole thing themselves and pay, it's not going to kill them. Okay? It's going to be good for them. If you're able to help them, that's fine too. But what I'm saying is we got to teach them the real world. And the real world is this, is that they're going to have to learn how to earn their things, buy their things, take responsibility and take care of what they have and appreciate it. Otherwise, they're going to become young adults who are still coming home wanting you to co-sign for everything. They're going to become parents, kids who go along and need help for a long time for everything. And you're thinking, well, what did I do wrong? Well, it starts right now. Yeah. Teaching them how the real world works. We have a job as parents, as fathers, to teach them responsibility because we love them, right? This is good training. I know sometimes we think, well, I had nothing given to me, so I want to bless my kids. And I understand that mentality. Maybe you were raised in a very poor situation. But listen, there's nothing wrong with blessing your kids. And if you have the ability to do that, I'm all for it. But do it in a way that produces responsibility. It doesn't produce dependency on mom and dad for the rest of their life. Okay? Are you following me?
Yes.
These are good lessons to learn, I'm telling you. Learn them early. Get more comments on that?
One of the important things that I think you need to teach your kids is the ability to be on time for anything. I was a manager for a while, and it's amazing how many people have not learned to be on time. And so, you know, we gave our kids instructions that if they ever was not, if we told them a time period and they was ever late, they got compensated for being late.
Right. Isn't that great? I got to be careful what I share too much. One of the things is that I believe it's very, very true. You know, moms, you're really good. This is your role. And this is your natural role. Moms, your job is to put pillows all around your child. And you do this because you want to protect your children. If you had your way, you would walk them to school every day of their life. You would go into class and make sure they're just right and taken care of and they're looking good and their homework's done and they're being responsible. You would do that because that's your mom. That's your natural desire and natural instinct as a mother is to nurture them. And fathers, we're like, go on. You know, you got this. You got this. Go ahead. You got it. Do they got it? No, but we don't care. They got it. And you know, and so as fathers, we are teaching them about the real world, and it's important that we do that, you know, because that's what's going to happen. Moms, you'll get your kid up for school until they graduate college if they let you, right? Because you're just really responsible. You'll cook their breakfast every morning. You'll make sure the lunch is packed and ready to go. You make sure all the laundry's done and put away. You'll make sure, and dads are like, no! Sometimes let them set their own alarm and get up. Well, he never comes to the car on time. I got to honk and honk, and he's causing everybody to be late. This is what I say to those parents who tell me that problem. Leave your child. It's okay. And tell them, you will walk to school if this car leaves. And follow through with that. Either you find a friend to come and get you or what, because when this car leaves, it leaves. It only happened one time, I guarantee you, and they'll get up on time the next day. And when the school calls you, why they're late, you tell them, my son chose to sleep in and not be at school today. And when the car left, it left. He didn't. He chose not to be there. And then he has to face the tension. He'll say, you know what? I better set my alarm 5 minutes earlier tomorrow and get up on time. It's all about preparing them for the real world. Because you're going to be there when they get that first job? Are you going to walk them there to make sure they're on time? Are you going to make sure they're clocking in early? Are you going to make sure they have their lunch? No, you're not. You're preparing them, okay? And so moms let dads come in and teach them the real world. You still be the moms. And for those of you who are single moms in this room, sometimes you're going to have to show a little tough love and fight through that motherly instinct to do everything for them and at times let them grow up because that's your role as a parent. Anybody get anything out of this today? All right, this is good stuff, okay? Listen, we're about mentoring the next generation because some of these things are being lost, not being passed down from generation to generation. And as godly men and women, we have a right, not only right, but a responsibility to pass on to the next generation. We sit down and we talk about the goodness of the Lord, which we do every week here. But sometimes we got to sit down and just talk about these are the roles that God has given us as husbands and as fathers and as mothers. And we got to make sure we're doing this and preparing our children to succeed. You know, one of the things that I think that the greatest thing we can do, guys, is as fathers, sometimes we think that the greatest thing we can do is provide for our family, right? We want to provide a home, provide them, you know, good things. If we are able to take them on vacation or do something, you know. As fathers, we can be very guilty about putting our value on the home, on how we provide for the home, okay? And when you provide good, you feel real good about yourself. And when you struggle, you walk kind of depressed about it. Anybody ever? I've been there. Anybody else ever had that before? Yeah, okay. So I'm talking about real issues here, guys. But what we got to remember, guys, I'm here to tell you, it took me a while to figure this out and to realize it. And I've learned it from some men who are older than me. As a pastor, you spend a lot of time on people who don't have very long to live, and they tell you wisdom that you really need to hear. And one of the things I always hear time and time again, I never hear anybody say, I wish I would have bought my kids more things. I wish I would have bought a bigger house. I wish I'd have worked a few more hours. I wish I'd have got an extra job. I never heard one person on their deathbed tell me that. You know what I hear over and over and over again? I wish I would have spent more time with my kids. I wish I'd have spent more time with my grandchildren. I wish I'd have spent more time with my family. This is how we show our children our love. Now, it doesn't mean that we just take off work and never work. That's not what I'm talking about. But what I'm saying is this. You guys know what I'm getting at is this. You got to also make sure you're taking adequate time to be with your family and put them first. Because bottom line, they won't remember those $100 shoes you bought them a year from now. They'll be trashed. They'll probably sell them on eBay to somebody else. Let's just be honest. Come on. I'm like looking on Jop and Give and Take. I had to become a member there. My kids are selling their stuff that I'm buying. I'm on Jop and Give and Take. They're spending money. I'm like, what are you doing? You know, anyway, it's another story. Anyway, I had to. But make sure, guys, listen to me. The most valuable thing besides a relationship with Jesus that we pass on to our children is time. You know, if you've ever been to Branson or on these places that do timeshares, they come put pressure on you. And they said a stat. I don't know how true it is, but I kind of think it's true. They said that 70% of our childhood memories are tied to vacation times. I look back and thought about that. That's really true. I can remember every trip my family took when it was something special, whether it was a small trip down, you know, even to go see some family, spend the weekend with another family member, or going camping or fishing or going to Six Flags or something like that. You know, I remember those times as a young kid. Even my early childhood memories are tied to those things. So we remember that. I can't remember what kind of shoes I wore, you know. I can't remember those things. But I do remember the time spent. I do remember those times. I remember the time my dad took me fishing, took me camping, took me hunting. I remember the time they were at my game. I remember those things very much. And so time is the most valuable thing that we can give our children other than a relationship with Jesus Christ. Spend time. If you're not spending adequate time, take time out. Listen, you should. When your kids are still in the home, you should be having a time set aside that this is family night or this is family afternoon or whatever. We're doing something as a family. And as they get older, sometimes you're going to have to do it. If you got multiple kids like me, sometimes it comes in, I'll do something with the older kids one day, and then another evening I'll do something with the younger kids because of work schedules and schedules are changing. And it's a lot of work. And sometimes I got to tell people in the church no. But it's the most important thing I can do. Is invest in my children the time that they need as a parent, because I'm not going to have it back. It's going to be over just like that. And I've got to give an account to God about how I invested in them. Give your time, okay? Dad, don't work so much. Some of you are working, 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 working. Take some time off. Listen to me. This is for somebody here today. You're hearing me and you're like doing this in your pew. I'm not saying that because I praise God for you. And thank God you're not afraid to work. I wish we had some guys who would stand up and get a job and take care of the responsibility of their family. So I praise you, okay? That's a good thing. I'm all for you. I'm applauding you there. But also, get balance in your life, okay? Make sure you're setting some time away to be with your family. How's the time? What's some ways that we can do that with our family, spend some time with our family that really makes a difference?
On my 70th birthday, my son and my daughter both wrote a letter to me, and you're absolutely right. What they talked about was the times of vacation time together. You know, my son started out the letter with Westbound Down because he could remember all the trips that we took,
right,
and all the time that we spent together and how important they were.
What's some ideas, guys, for maybe those who, some of you guys that have young kids and you've been in places where haven't always been able to afford maybe an expensive vacation. So what's some good ideas for people maybe to, not even vacation, but things they can do with kids that make memories?
When I was a single dad, I had every Tuesday night, they used to have a dollar movie over here over where the Sears building used to be. There was a dollar movie. And then on Tuesday nights, it was 50 cents. So... And then just so happens that the Pizza Hut buffet was free for kids. So for about $5, me and Kai had a movie every Tuesday night. And it was cheap.
That's right. And there's places that do that. There's places in town that do kids eat for free on certain nights of the week. Check them out.
I cook a lot, so sometimes I'll invite the kids into the kitchen to help cook. I do cook. I throw down.
He is a good cook, yeah.
But also it may be something as simple as just turning on Just Dance on the television and just having a dance competition. I mean, it doesn't have to be anything expensive. The free stuff is the best stuff.
Right. That's right. That's very true.
For us, we try and have dinner as a family as much as we can throughout the week. And then after that, if you have been in our house, we keep games by our kitchen table. And so after we clean off the table, we play games as a family. So my youngest is a card shark, so don't play cards with her. So we try and spend as much time, whether it's family night, we play games after dinner, or have a family movie night, or just go play putt-putt. But just the easiest things we can do together as a family is probably the biggest things.
Let me get a couple more questions here. I know Pastor Jeremiah, he mentioned a little bit about being a single dad, and you know, one of the things, there's some single dads in this room today, and I want you to, and even single moms, and I want you to hear a little bit of his struggle, you know, what the struggle of, you know, when you get married and then something happens where you go through a divorce, the first response can be, yes, I'm free again. You know, I can get out there and I can get back into the scene. I can hang out with my friends and, you know, I got this freedom I haven't had. And so all of a sudden you can take on this youth mentality that you had, you know, and try to make up for years you lost, so to speak, you know. You know, come on, look at me like that. You know what I'm talking about. That's a mentality people can have. But when you have a child involved, that's different. When you're responsible for your child first, and your child should be first, and maybe talk about a little bit of that struggle of being a single dad.
Yeah. When I was explaining this in the first service, when you go through a divorce, you get that sinking feeling like, she's going to get married again before I do. And so I got to be better than that. And I got to have all of my stuff together. I got to get in a better house, and I got to do this and do that and try to do all these things. But what I did is I had that, believe me, I wanted to, you know, be right out there and get right back on the scene and, you know, go do what the single people do. But I had a child, and I had to take that into consideration. And, I just had to take a step back, and I said, you know, I can't just go do and be the way I was before. I have a child here, and I have to understand that I'm a dad. Even if it's Monday, even if it's every other weekend and Wednesday, I told him that I would be there whenever he needed me. So if he called me and said, "Dad, I want to come over to your house," I would just let him. And it just being all in is being that kind of dad. And understanding that you're a dad all the time, and not just say, "Well, I'm sorry, it's my weekend." You can't do that. When you're a dad, you have to be there every weekend, even if it's like several weekends in a row. And my story was a little different because I had him all the time, and it was just a thing where I had to take a step back, make a few choices that were not me friendly, but they were kid friendly. You know, like I said, going to eat at the free buffet or whatever. And through that process, I was single for like 4.5 years. Now I went on dates, but I didn't like date someone exclusively. And in that patience, I just held myself back, and I was like, God, I'm not going to just rush into this, and I don't want to just be out there and let everybody understand. Well, Jeremiah's looking okay. He's doing good now. He's got a girl and all this stuff. I didn't care about that. I just put time and effort into my son, and you know, going to all his. I had like 1,700 hours of soccer when he was like 5 years old. Yeah, and football and all that stuff, all videoed all of it. But anyway, just being. And through that, I got Cassie, which Cassie's the last person that sang up here, and I think I did pretty good. I'm a little over my skis. I know I married up, but I mean, it's because I didn't jump out there and say I gotta do this and feel that pressure that the world puts on you to get out there and make sure you look, everything looks okay. I just took a step back and I said I'm gonna wait on God. And the funny thing is that. The reason she noticed me is because I was a good dad. And that was, sorry, I get a little emotional. When I talk about my son, I get a little emotional. But it was actually her mom. And you know, usually if a mom sees her daughter starting to want to date somebody that already has kids, they're like, uh-oh, baggage, hold on there, daughter. Let me take you for a little walk and we're going to talk about this. That's usually what happens, right? But my sweet mother-in-law pulled her aside and said, you know, that guy Jeremiah really likes you. And she was like, no, he don't. But she said, I can talk about her because she's back there teaching today. But the important thing was, she said, you know, a lot of times, dad, you don't know what you're getting when you marry somebody. You don't know what kind of dad they're going to be, what kind of father. And she said, he's already a good dad. You already got that down. So just have patience with him and listen to him. So
that was one of the things. And I've known Pastor Jeremiah a long time. We went to college together. He came to college my second year when I was in college. So we spent some time in college together, and I've known him for a long time. I walked through him through that divorce. It wasn't something that he wanted, but it happened, and I seen how he responded. And what impressed me the most was that, you know, when everybody else I knew who was going through that same thing, they were out there putting themselves first, their kids on the back burner. He put his son first as much as he could. Finished college, working a full-time job, and put his time in his kid, and said, I'm going to put God first. He began to go after God like he never had before in his life. He went all in as a father, went all in for Jesus, and then he let God, in his timing, bring the perfect spouse into his life, and it worked out pretty good, don't you think? I told him it worked out pretty good for him. He did good. But listen, dads, whether you're a single mom or a single dad here today, you'll never go wrong putting God first and putting your children right now, when they're still living at home, and they're elementary and teenagers, but they need your attention. You'll never go wrong putting your time into them and putting them first. And let God bring the right person at the right time, okay? Let God do that. Let God do that. You honor the Lord by taking care of your responsibilities to Him and to your children first, and let God honor you by bringing the right person at the right time. It'll be 10 times, 100 times more better than what you could ever do on your own, okay? When God brings somebody into your life, you know it's God. It's awesome, okay? Let's talk about this as well. Let's talk about those maybe growing up without having a biological dad who is strong in your life. Maybe you know who they were but didn't have a strong relationship with them. Maybe you had an uncle or a stepfather or somebody else who stepped in to your life to influence you. Carlos, why don't you go ahead and speak about that?
Well, for those of you that don't know, I was born into a single mom. And so my mom didn't get married to my stepdad until I was 5. And so, but I'm fortunate enough to come from a very big family. And so I have an uncle who, you know, my cousin's 2 years older than me. So whenever he did things with his son, my cousin, he always took me along. So whether it was to the park or to ball games. And so I think that was fortunate enough for me. It kind of molded me to know every man can be a father. You don't have to be the biological father. And then going through that process, you know, it's one of the things I've kind of learned is you'll never be a man unless you see a man.
Ooh, that's good. Say it again. Here, listen to this. What?
You'll never be a man unless you see a man.
That's good.
And so, again, coming from a large family, I'm fortunate now to have 4 men in my life that I call dad. And so that they all pour into me. And so we all have an opportunity to mentor and grow a man, a child, anyone, that may not have a father figure in their life, that may not be your biological father, that you can step in and give them some mentorship, some guidance, some direction. Because a lot of kids may not have that. So I think that's something we can all do as men and even as women, step in and help out. Show love, give them some direction and some guidance. And, you know, we always talk about how the generation is getting lost. Well, they're lost because no one's ever putting a hand in their life and giving them some structure.
Right. That's good. And, you know, I really admire Carlos because being close to him, I know his story personally, and I've heard even the more detail of his story. And I really love the fact that, you know, his uncle played such a big part in his role in his life. But simply did this. He simply said, you know what, I could choose to use things for an excuse, or I can determine I'm going to do better. And he has. You know, he finished high school, went to college, finished college, is well represented in this community as one of the community leaders and in our church as well. And he did this. He did this because, why? Because someone believed in him, spoke over him, and he just said, I'm going to make something different. And he's creating now even a stronger legacy for his family. And there's some guys in this room, you haven't had some strong people in your life. And first of all, let me say this. If you are a single mom and your child does not have any positive male figures in their life, come to one of the staff members. Let us know. We would love, there's plenty of guys in this church who would love to do anything they could to come alongside, maybe hook that child up with somebody who could be a good positive role model in their life and spend some time with them, okay? That can do this like Carlos was talking about. Come along and speak some good things into their life. We would love to do that here, okay? That's what being a church family is about. Yeah. So let us know. We'd love to come alongside you. And you guys who maybe don't realize who are doing that for other children, in your maybe it's a niece or nephew or somebody you know or a stepchild, you don't realize the impact you're having on them. That even though you may not be their biological parent, you are having an impact on them for the rest of their life. Make it the best one you can. Pour into them as well, the responsibility you have. Let's ask a difficult question today. Let's talk about something as we are getting ready to close. But I want to close with this question and ask, you know, with everything that happened in Charleston this week, how do we as society continue to bring up kids who are overcoming the racial divide that's happened in our country, even though there's been some things, obviously, over the last 30, 40 years that have been a positive, but we still have things happening. So how do, as all in dads, you know, and this, and I'm talking about this because at Destiny Church, this is who we are. We're a racially diverse church, and we're going to be a racially diverse church because that's the body of Christ. That's who God wants to be. And let me tell you this. The most segregated place in America is on Sunday morning in our churches. What a shame. Let's be a church who is not segregated, but we come in and are having multi-ethnic groups coming in worshiping. Because when we get to heaven, we're going to be worshiping together now. So let's learn how to do it then. Let's learn how to do it now, okay? Let's become a testimony, and we are. I tell you that. This church is making a positive impact in the community just by our racial diversity that's happening already. And so this is the reason I'm addressing it. I believe God has called Destiny Church to be a model of that. But Justin, why don't you speak to that? How can we raise our children up in a way that teaches individuality, but yet teaches them the acceptance of other races and helps break down those racial divides that sometimes can be transferred just by society?
Well, having two young African American boys, stuff like Charleston, it kind of hits me in a little bit of a different way. And I really think that if God hadn't moved us from Mississippi here to Missouri, I'd probably answer this question in a completely different way. But I really believe that all of our racial issues and our racial tension, it stems from spiritual ones. Is that we don't see people the way that God created them. We see them through maybe the biases that we grew up with, or, you know, the experiences that we've had when we were younger, which are very, very powerful in our lives, but the Spirit of God is stronger. And so, my wife and I, we talk about this stuff a lot, and we've just decided that we're teaching our kids, especially I'm teaching my boys, to fear no man, but respect and honor every man.
That's good. That's good. You're teaching the boys what? Repeat that again.
To fear no man, but respect and honor every man.
That's good.
Whether they've earned it or not, whether they have offended you or not. Respect them and honor them, and then let God do in that situation whatever God wants to be done. Because I can't control how somebody else responds to me. They can't control how somebody else responds to them, but they can respond, control how they respond to that person. So if somebody does you wrong, keep loving them. Keep respecting them. Keep honoring them. And I see, you know, so much of it in schools, how respect and honor and love have been eroded away from our societies. And it would be easy for me as an African American to say, oh, they're out to get African American men. I just, in my heart, I really believe that if we get back to seeing people how God created them, that all people are equal, and that if we respect people and that if we show people respect and show them honor, I think we would really begin to see inroads, not just racially, but all across the spectrum. It all goes back to the Word of God.
Carlos, you got something you want to add?
I guess I'd say my part of that is, you know, no matter how you were brought up, what community you're from, we all have choices in life to make. Choices in how we live, choices in how we raise our kids, and choices we put into their head, and the things that we believe. God gave us free will to believe in Him. God gave us direction and guidance, as Pastor Justin mentioned in his word. So I'd say a lot of these things that are happening, they're unfortunate. But I hope as a country and as a body of Christ, we're actually observing and living the word in our life and put that into our kids. Not to be fearful, not to be worryful, but one, to show love to one another. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, green, or brown.
Amen.
You have to show love. That's the most powerful thing you can do. And so for me, a lot of that is things that the choices we make as a individual and as a community. But it's most importantly, how do we show love to one another? And that will show how we treat one another.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jermaine.
And I've always, since I was a young parent, I made the decision that, you know, there's always racial jokes and racial words that you can use that were used sometimes in my house that we couldn't use, that we wouldn't use around other people. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes the things in our past will tie us to certain things. But what I did is in my house, I said, we're not going to use these words.
Right.
And we're not going to tell these same old jokes that have been told all through history. And we're just not going to do it in my house. So
it's good. Yeah, it just starts with that. And I think, you know, I respect both of these men on the stage highly because they both are working in a professional community where they're one of the few African American men in their job. And they do it with pride and they represent not their race well, but you represent God well. And I really appreciate all these guys on the stage joining me today. Yeah, let's give them a hand. Thanks, guys. Man, so much. I hope today that some of our young guys, that you got some things today, okay? If you take some of these lessons, we're talking about some real issues, it can save yourself years of problems and put you way ahead of the game as a father, as a husband, as a man of God. Let me repeat to you a couple of things I want you to make sure you know today. Number one, the most important thing, dads, listen to me. Every dad in this room, every young man in this room, listen to me. The most important thing you can do for your family is fall in love with Jesus and lead by example. I've seen this firsthand over the years where guys who came from homes that did not serve God and they became Christians and they became first generation Christians. They simply just came to church, learned to be faithful, learned to give, learned to serve in church. And they didn't do anything. They were never no superstars. They were just became rocks. Solid people in the church who were faithful. You could depend on them to be there. If they needed something, they were there to serve. But their children traveled the globe, becoming missionaries, becoming pastors of large churches, youth pastors, worship leaders. People that just did awesome, big things for God, all through one generation of one person who said, I'm starting a new legacy.
Yeah.
Fall in love with the Lord. whatever we do, dads, our children will do to the extreme. So if you think church is not important and you only hit once in a while, your children will very seldom darken the doors of the church if it goes along the pattern that they probably will follow. They'll take what you did and say, church wasn't important, and they'll hardly ever come to church. Now, if you come faithful to church, and you do your best to be faithful and to honor the Lord, they're going to follow that pattern, and they're going to go honor the Lord even higher than probably what you did. They're going to go even all in, even more than you did at a younger age, at an earlier age. They'll follow you. I'm telling you, dads, they will follow you. So let's make it a point. Say, I'm going to be all in. All in for my relationship with Jesus. All in. I'm going to love. If you're married, I'm going to love their mom the best I can. I'm going to love. I'm going to spend time with them. I'm going to make sure I'm not working myself to death and I'm taking time to spend with them individually. I'm going to build their confidence up. I'm going to discipline. I'm going to raise up the next generation of God movers, God changers. What an awesome responsibility we have today. I want to invite all the men in the house as you stand. All the men, young men, whether you're a father, not a father, a young man, when all the guys join me in front today, I want to pray for you before we leave. Let's pray over you. All the men in the house, come on, ladies, give these guys a hand clap. Don't they look good?
Bring it.
It's a them, not me. Looking good. Come on in, guys. Squeeze into the back there. Make room for those coming in behind you. Some of you guys, you're starting a new legacy, okay? You're starting a new legacy. Some of you didn't have dads who were positive in your life. You're going to be different. Listen to me. You will be different, okay? God has called you to be different, and you're going to be different. You're going to be stronger. You're going to raise up a new legacy. You're starting something new in God. And so today, I just want you to know, I believe in you. We believe in you here. And we're here to help you, to support you. And we're calling out the things that God in your life. I believe very much in every one of these guys standing up here today. Proud to be your pastor. I believe in every one of you. I want to pray over you today. If you're comfortable, guys, can you just raise your hands today? I want to pray over you. God, I just pray for every man up here today. Every young man. Every father, every grandfather, every single man, I pray to Father right now that no matter what they've been through in their life, that we'll let go of things that have kept us back, excuses, hurts, disappointments. And I pray right now that God, you begin to heal the hearts of those who are hurting because they didn't have a father in their life the way it should have been. Heal their hearts. And God, at the same time, I pray that you begin to elevate them. Elevate them, God, in their relationship with you. That, God, you would call greatness. That they, those who've had positive fathers, spiritual heritage, I pray that is passed down sevenfold, tenfold in their life. That anointing is passed on to the children, the grandchildren. And those who didn't, I pray they're starting a new legacy. And they're going to build something new. Every young man in this room, they're not going to be just like anybody else. But they are God's men, young men. And, God, I'm calling greatness out of them today. Through the Holy Spirit, I'm calling greatness out of them. Men who will be dedicated, who have a heart to love you, who are not ashamed to raise their hands in worship, who are not ashamed to have their family in church, who are not ashamed to say, man, I'm going all in for Jesus. And God, I pray right now over every man in this house, every young man, that God, you anoint him, God. Anoint him with a spirit of determination, a boldness that when life gets tough, they keep going. They don't give up. But God, they are going to keep hanging on to you, being a good example of how not to give up when their children are watching them go through hard things, when they go through hard trials. And God, they don't give up, but God, they pursue you even more in their life. So I just call out of them greatness in the name of Jesus. Great things in the Spirit. Great things through the Father. God, we say all in. Come on, let's make it personal as we close this course.
Let me sing it out this morning. Come on.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God.
Come on, men of God, lift up your voices and let's declare it. Set a fire.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control.
We want more of you.
I want more of you.
Every man in this house, lift up your hands.
I want more of you.
Let's be bold. I hope you said, God, set a fire. Come on.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't control.
just raise our voice in this place today. Come on, lift it up. Set a fire.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you.
We want more.
I want more of you.
Set a fire.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control.
Guys here today say, I'm going all in. Anybody here want to say that? Come on, we got a hand clap. Man. You guys are awesome, man. I tell you what, you guys, just, I see so much great things of what God's doing in your life and getting ready to do. I see many of you growing. Keep it up. Keep it up. Don't give up. You guys enjoy the rest of your day. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Turn around and give someone a high five, guys, and say, man, I'm going all in.